From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spill, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome everybody to the Thursday, February 18th episode of Beers with the Brewers. I'm Mark Richards. Also on the podcast this week, we've got Dan Schaefer.
Ahoy.
And Adam Benner.
Mm-hmm.
Topic of today's show, Spice Market Spiced Wit Beer. Bready, spice, warming, and crisp. And I've got to tell you, Dan, for a beer this refreshing, warming due to the spices, it does give you a perception of warmth.
Yeah, you just to get a little bit of a warming thing, just the back of your throat, top of your chest. It's nice.
It's got a little something there.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that, you know, that ginger and cinnamon are spicy, but, you know, they don't set your tongue on fire, in that same family of warming spice.
Yeah, right on. So we're calling this a wheat ale with chai spice. It is kind of a hybrid between a Belgian wit beer and a German wheat, would you say?
Yeah, it's lives somewhere in that neighborhood. I think the base is split 50-50 between our house, Swain Pils malt, and some white wheat, and just a little bit of Munich for some nice breadiness in there.
Yeah, for not much to it, a simple recipe, it's got some good complex flavor to it.
Yeah, you know, we don't, when it comes to yeast-driven beers, try not to do too much to get in the way of that. So this, we did something a little different with this. We were going to go with our Omega Bavarian wheat yeast, but we tried something a little different. We used their Saisonstein, which is actually a blend of two Saison strains, the French Saison, which give you some nice, has a creamy mouthfeel, but also some apple and pear, and as well as the Saison DuPont strain, which gives you some excellent peppery phenolics, but also is a bit notorious for being a slow and under attenuator. So the idea is with the two, you sort of get the best of both worlds. And also, you know, you're also able to manipulate fermentation temperature to get the sort of balance of fruitiness and spice that you'd like. So
is the French Saison what we use on Spring Quarter?
We have in the past. But again, I think we're using this guy as kind of a trial basis this year to do some, try to do some double duty. And everyone tunes in the next few weeks, triple duty, in fact, and trying to push a yeast, sort of like we're doing with our house spike yeast, to see how many different things we can make it do. We're kind of trying to do the same thing this year with this Saisonstein.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So then if you had Frozen Grove that just had their Bavarian, is that accurate?
So yeah, that was a Bavarian wit 2 yeast, which a little bit more clove heavy, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to do that with this, because this has, had to look it up. I like these, we get our spice blend from Frontier Organics. They've got, there's no tea in this. And also, chai means tea, so don't say chai tea. I'll step off my soapbox on this. People must stop actually doing it. But
what if you're a stutterer?
It's like the ATM machine.
That is correct. Also a bugbear of mine. But this has anise, black pepper, cardamom, fennel, cinnamon, clove, and ginger. So already having some things that have a bit of spicy phenolics in them. We didn't necessarily want to push that with our yeast. So we have something that has some nice peppery phenolics, but it's not going to give you that big hit of clove like you might get in like a half strain or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What type of phenolics does that normally expect to put out?
It would be more more black pepper than clove.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct. I think that's kind of the flavor profile that you would normally associate with the Saison DuPont is very peppery.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm as wheat beers are prone to, this has a nice light haze to it, even though it went through our centrifuge like most things do. 5.1% ABV, 6 IBUs. You know, we just put a scant bit of bitterness in there because you're already getting a hint of that from the spice, so you don't want to kill it and make it a bitter bomb. I do not have a taco or a chili suggestion. I had one of these with some Szechuan, some Kung Pao chicken from Chili Spot.
Oh, nice.
Center Mall, and that was a spot on pairing there.
Yeah, we've been getting away from chili and taco lately. It's not a bad occasionally to eat some real food too, though. Not that taco and chili isn't real food.
I did just have a classic beef taco last night that I made. I was trying to make homemade cheesy gordita crunches, but didn't have the ability to make the homemade taco, and the box of taco shells we got were completely all crushed. So they were, it was just a gordita without the crunch, and didn't use it as the pocket tortilla. So, I had some Spice Market with it last night, and the pairing was still fantastic. I think this would go well with any sort of meat dish of sorts, whether it is taco or chili or Szechuan.
Well, I think that's okay, Adam, if your taco is crushed. The bowl is very popular now.
Well, this was a double shell here, Mark. Double shell. It was a cheesy gordita crunch, which the crunch part was all broken up. So I still use the cheesy gordita. And the taco.
Just spackle them in there with a little refried beans and comes right back together.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you fried like a flatbread kind of, if they had something like the lavash flatbread that was small enough to do an individual wrap. I wonder if you fried that, if that would be gordita-esque.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's essentially, even when I was doing research, you could, a lot of folks said like a pita flatbread would be a good analog for an actual gordita. But you need the crunch to make the full cheesy gordita crunch for this weekend when I'm back to the cooking.
Thus the name.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, during that, I probably had 2 or 3 during cooking. So it's definitely a beer that you could have a few of, which kind of leads me to ask you two.
How crushable is it?
Quarantine edition.
I'd say pretty crushable. I'm going to jump right out with a 5 out of 6 on this one. I'm not sure if I would get tired of the spice, but I've only had one. But it went down so quick, and once again, here I am, 10 minutes into the show, and my beer is gone. So if I kept that rate up, I don't know, it could be a 6. I'd let somebody twist my arm, but I'm going 5. I'm not driving anywhere else tonight or operating any heavy equipment.
Yeah. So continuing with the general confirmation bias that is the crushability scale on this show, I'm going to go with a 5. It really doesn't. For something that has a lot of different spice complexity, it doesn't really stick around on the back of your tongue very long. It just kind of goes away, which is nice. Yeah, I could also be persuaded to use 6, but erring on the side of caution, we'll go with a 5.
Right on.
Well, I think I'll make it a unanimous 5. I do agree. I definitely, if I had like a lemon glow in the fridge alongside of this, and I probably want to finish off with that, but I could easily drink 5 of these in a setting, no problem. 5% alcohol too. I think it's 6 crushable in most of the stats, but I think I might want to reach for a different beer after having 5 of these in my session. So
there it is, unanimous this week. Ring the bell.
Ding, ding.
Breaking news, after a long hiatus, we have a question from a listener this week.
Question from a lit. Wow, great. Good thing I'm back on.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Happen to notice that this person was on the delivery schedule last week. Already sent him a little care package for asking a question. Justin Riz asks, after brewing smash beers during the spring through fall, I made the less that out decision of making an imperial stout this winter. Usually I spray down my equipment outside before bringing it in to be cleaned after I'm done brewing. This time, I had to spend way more time cleaning up an incredibly dark and sticky mess in my kitchen sink, and it was not fun at all, which made me wonder what this could have been like on a much bigger scale. Just wanted to know what the cleanup process is like after a brew day and if there are any horror stories from previous batches in your brewery. Thanks, Justin Riz.
I don't know about horror. I will say that when it comes to dealing with weird ingredients, generally, yeah, cleanup is not fun.
Didn't a barrel come apart one time that was aging a beer?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, was it one of the beer crumb rum barrels? Like the ring came off and the whole barrel emptied out over there? I could be wrong,
I think that's true. This is now the second brewery where that has occurred to me. My previous stop, we came in after the weekend, and yeah, one of the barrel heads just popped off, and it was, I think, stack three high, so it just, you know, bathed everything underneath it as well.
And I think those areas aren't necessarily, you kind of put your barrels where your dry storage is a lot of times because you don't have that much space. So it's not like if a fermenter overflows and that's the benefit, I think, you know, different than in your house and whatnot. You just, everything is washed out. So if something overflows or spills, there's drains everywhere and everything is, you just hose everything down. But it's when it happens in non-convenient areas, dry storage areas.
That's certainly true. So the other thing I could think of, especially, is coconut, which we tried to do. Well, we did do directly in the fermenter loose for Del Boca Vista last year and put it in with our hop pump, which actually did a fairly remarkable job of just chewing it up and spitting it right in the tank. Unfortunately, yeah, that settles like concrete on the bottom of the cone. And we do have a diaphragm pump that was, you know, a little bit effective at pumping it out, and we've got some totes that we are able to shoot it directly to, so we didn't have to put that stuff down the drain. But it was a bit of a process getting that out of the tank. There's lots of stuff like that. I remember the first time we did Superiora, I quite stupidly just dumped, I think, 3 pounds of cinnamon sticks in the top of the tank. And of course, they all jammed down into the bottom of the cone, which, I had to take the valve off the bottom, and I kept having to poke up into the bottom of the conical, and a few cinnamon sticks would pop out, and then they would all settle again. And I had to repeat that for about an hour. Till my fingers were raw and bloody. So there's that.
Oh, boy. It sounded like a great day at the office.
Yeah. That and any type of fruit that we are not able to get in a tote or a drum. So totes generally being around 2,000, I think-ish pounds, and drums being somewhere around 500 pounds, where you can take that and pump it directly into the tank with the aforementioned diaphragm pump. Otherwise, we use our hopper and have to dose fruit in 45 pounds at a time. And usually our hopper only fits 4 boxes. Yeah, that's a long, sticky day. You just end up with fruit all over your arms. And, I'll save that if we're doing an episode for Suco coming up, because, that was a fun day as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we've got that episode coming up pretty soon. Just released this week in the tap room. Well, any other general messes? This is almost like the airing of the grievances for you, Dan.
I was trying to think of anything particularly gnarly. I'm sure I'm missing something that is just glaringly obvious, but certainly that the special ingredient stuff is, and particularly fruit, is what I can think of.
Yeah, a little messy. I remember one day, I think I was coming in the back dock door, and there was just a sea of some kind of fruit ooze just running down the alley. Do you remember what that was? Something had run off. And yeah. I remember it just like was coming off the wall over the second cellar back there.
Yeah, that was one of our jamble days, but I can't remember specifically what happened. Okay. I'll also say that anytime we put anything into our mash tun, which usually involves fresh hops, yeah, just trying to get that stuff back out is not a great time. And just, yeah, last of the airing of the grievances, oats. So we use quite a bit of oats. Hazy beers, beard crumbs, you know, oatmeal stouts. When they're hot, they just suck up water. And then it's just a big sloppy mess. And when they cool down, they let all that go. So there's just a puddle on top of it. So when it comes time to pour them, you know, when we dump them into the bin that our farmers graciously take from us, it's just, it'll hit the bottom of the bin and it'll just geyser up probably 20, 30 feet up in the air. So as soon as you dump the bin, you have to like, you know, you haul ass at least 10, 15 feet back, you're going to catch some.
That's hilarious. And that's when loading up the truck with the spent grain bin?
Yes.
Yeah.
That and just moving the grain bins around. If you fill them to the top, like, you know, you hit a bump or something, it'll just slosh over the top and just like coat your boots and your pants. And it's a good time.
Well, there you go, Justin Riz. All your questions are answered. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast, and thanks for ordering beer last week. Hope you enjoyed drinking it out of your Land-Grant University pint glass.
I will also note that while I'm sure this Justin fella is a fine guy, he should use his real name. That is obviously not a real last name. There's no vowels in it, so that is not a real name.
I've got to tell you, it's the name on his credit card, though. So he's really pulling a farce on us, if that's the truth. Well, cool. We still got a delivery and carry out going on in full effect. And Justin can attest to that because he got some last week. Still have a little bit of that bay from Valentine's Day. We had the bundle with Mello that I think was very well enjoyed for Valentine's Day. And that beer is drinking real good. So also a beer that, you know, can hold up for a while. So just to let you know, that's still out there. Land Grant subscriptions have been going out this week as well. If you are a subscriber, look forward to that landing on your doorstep if it has not already this week. Make sure you check our YouTube page out and drink a beer with Dan. It's just like we're doing right now, really, Dan, isn't it?
It is. What people don't know is that actually Mark is going to be up for an Oscar this year for best editing. My actual tastings usually go on for at least a half hour, but he's managed to narrow it down to those crucial 1 or 2 minutes that give you the, you know, pertinent information on the beer.
I'm a podcast editor, but Adam's been crunching those videos together. I think Adam, you're
Mark
pulling.
Mark is director. I have the cutting room floor. It's really not too it's not too bad compared to being a former editing this podcast a little more. The two this month with Lemon Glow was the first time I really had to get creative when one of the brewery alarms went off on your phone, and use my old editing magic skills back to my high school days of making class videos on stuff. So I hope people are enjoying them. I think, yeah, like we said, it's a new great way to learn about them. And maybe you don't like just listening to us. You want to see what we look like. You get to see the beer too, which is better than, I guess, listening to the podcast. You can get, you know, just drink along.
You might not want to look at all of us, but Dan is exceptionally handsome.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, I think, Dan, at some time in the future, we'll have to record a Drinks with Dan that you just teach everyone how to drink a beer in a minute and a half or less, just like this subscription series.
I like that challenge.
Yep.
Next week on Beers with the Brewers, we're going to talk about Field to Fjord, which is a Nordic Pilsner that we brewed in collaboration with Little Fish Brewing Company. Should be super crushable. Hopefully we'll get somebody on from Little Fish and get to drink one with them. Everybody have a great weekend and thanks for listening.
Thanks, yeah. Everyone.
Cheers.
See ya.
Yep.